Jeannie and John and Carol, graduates. I want to share with you a time that I'll never forget. It was the time that I met, for the first time, my cross country and track coach at college. I was waiting outside the old gym, is the athletic building, and there in the parking lot drives up this long, dark, four-door sedan, tinted windows. It's the type of car you see in the mafia movies. And out steps this guy dressed all in black. He's got jet black hair. It's all slicked back. And he walks up in this thick, heavy New York accent. He says, "Hey, I'm Coach Mullen." And I thought to myself, my new coach is the Godfather. And I started worrying about, well, if I didn't run hard enough, he's going to put a hit out on me. But he was a really good coach. He knew his stuff about running. He coached international teams before. But he had a way of motivating you. I know you've got different teachers and principals and coaches and ROTC leader and dance leaders that they motivate you in different ways. Coach Mullen had these cliches he'd share with you. So I'm going to share them with you to see if they motivate you to maybe be your best. The cream always rises to the top. You get it? You there? If you don't know, you can ask our resident dairy farmer, Jeff Cornwell. He'll share it with you, what it means. It's time to get the hay in while the sun's out. Pretty much everybody here and their grandma's out on the tractor getting the hay in here, so I know we all understand that. This one, though, I've never got. You can tell me if you get it. He'd say, catfish, because that's my nickname, catfish, the ducks are on the pond. I have no clue. You might know that. I don't know. Apparently, it means to go out and run hard. But there's one instance where I just finished a workout. This is one of those times I'll never forget with Coach Mullen. And he comes up and he gets right in my face. Now, I ran hard. I mean, I thought I ran as hard as I could, but Coach Mullen was just like, he was right there. Now, first of all, it just made me uncomfortable, mainly because I ran hard. I tried hard. I thought I did my best. And I was upset that he was in my face. The second thing was, is Coach Mullen would wear gallons of cologne. I mean, so much so, like if I was running here and he had crossed at the end of the track, 10 seconds later, you'd run through there, it's like a wall, it hits you. The cologne was just so strong, and you go through there. And I'm breathing hard after running, and that cologne is still in there, and I couldn't hardly believe. And I couldn't get away from it because Coach Mullen was a close talker. You ever known somebody who's a close talker? They get like right in your face, you back up, and they're right there. And he was good. I'd go to the left, he'd be there. I'd turn to the right, he'd be there. I try to fake him out, and he's just like right there in my face. And I kept wondering, why is he in my face making me so uncomfortable? I thought I had run as hard as I could, but Coach Mullen knew I could run better. Have you ever wondered, are you living up to your potential? Are you being the best student? Are you being the best athlete? Are you being the best Christian that you can be? I've got a story I want to share to you. It's out of the Gospel of Luke. Graduates, you've got a Bible, I know, and I've already marked it for you. It's the little blue, your little blue ribbon. You can open it to there, and you'll read along with me. It's Luke 18, verses 18 through 30. It's a story about a young leader. Sorry, y'all, you have to look on it now. A certain ruler asked him, asking of Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Well, who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, What is impossible with men is possible with God. This young leader who was good. By our standards, he went to church. He went to Sunday school. He paid his offering. And so he comes to Jesus and he wants to know, what must I do for an eternal life? What do I need to do to go to heaven? He's been good. And so Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. Follow the commandments. Honor your mother and father. Come to church. All those things. He says, I've done it since I'm a boy. And Jesus then says, one more thing. Sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. I imagine right at that moment, he was speechless because he had great wealth. It's like that sinking feeling you get in your stomach. I don't know if y'all have ever had that before when you're expecting good news and all of a sudden bad news comes. It's like the time when you think you did well on the test. You probably get like an 80 or 90 and you get the test back and what, it's like a 30 or 40. You're like, uh-oh, how'd that happen? That's probably never happened to y'all. It didn't happen to me either. But he was left speechless. Sometimes the words of Jesus will convict us. Sometimes the words in Scripture that we read will point out when we are not doing things the way we should do. When I was in college, I was in need of some sand. You see, we had rented a house off campus, and it was several folks on the track team and a couple of football players. And out behind the house, they had some old horseshoe pits. Horseshoe pits are what we used to have and play before cornholes. I don't know if you've ever seen them before or not. And so everything was there. All we needed was some sand. Well, lo and behold, out on the golf course, part of the college, there was this huge pile of sand. And you see, now you're laughing here, but I'm thinking about, I pay tuition to that college, and part of that tuition is a student activity fee. And horseshoes are a student activity. It's students that's going. So technically, that's my sand. And so we made a plan to, you know, go get that sand late one night, one of my guys' trucks here. Not because it was illegal or anything, but just because it was real hot and we didn't want to bother them during the day while they're working. But I was reading in a devotion. I come across a scripture passage that says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes that get up and spoil the grapevine. And sometimes, meaning it's those little things that can just add up and cause us to end up making bad choices. Just those little white lies, you know, justifying that it's okay. Technically, it's my sin. It's not my sin. That's the students. It would be downright still, and they'd probably kick me out of college, and I wouldn't even be here if I'd have went and got that sin. So sometimes God's word will convict us and show us when we are going down the wrong path. Then in the story, Jesus says, you know, these are the conditions of this one more thing. Sell all you have and give to the poor. Now, if he only had a dollar, if he had just to give away a dollar, that wouldn't be that hard, but he had $10, $100, $1,000, $1 million. The more he had to give away, the harder it was for him to trust God, to be able to trust God with everything. There's a story about a man who was struggling with giving his life to Christ because he knew that he had to give everything to God. And he struggled with that because as a husband, he had to provide for his wife. As a father, he had to provide for his family. And he wanted to make sure that someone was there to take care of him. And he had to work. He had to be there to provide for the family. And so he struggled with that and struggled with it. And finally, in his conversations, he just decided to trust God fully, 100%. And so he prayed to God, and he became a Christian. And in that moment, he felt God saying back to him, you know, thank you for trusting me with your family. Now I'm going to give your family back to you. And if you could take care of them for me, I would appreciate it. So you see, he trusted God with everything. Sometimes it's hard for us to give everything we have. Jesus says, you know, for us to have so much that we don't want to give, that we don't want to trust God 100%, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I don't know what your message translation had for that. I don't think Jesus was talking about a literal eye of a needle where you'd sew with. He may have been referring to an archway. It's like a little gate or a wall, and there's like this real small archway that a camel would have just to get down and army crawl through just to get to it. It was possible, but it seemed impossible. In verse 27, that's one that you want to go back and to mark and to remember, where Jesus says, what is impossible for men, what is impossible for women, what is impossible for humanity is possible with God. Graduates, you're going to find some things in your life that you're going to be at the beginning of, or you're going to run into a challenge that seems impossible. And remember this verse. Now, you've already gotten about 100 gifts already, so I don't have another one for you, so you're going to have to pretend to put on some glasses. So I'm giving you some pretend glasses here. They're nice ones. They're green or blue or what. They're not green because that would be Crest. They're blue, Blue Dog Blue. Go ahead and put your pretend glasses on. Put them on now. Come on. Put them on, Titus. Y'all put them on as well. Yes. You got, like, smart grads because your college, you're a little bit nicer. All right. So when you're facing those impossible tasks, I want you to look back. Look back and remember this church. Remember your youth group. Remember your Sunday school teachers, your youth group leaders, your parents. Remember your principal, your teachers at school, all those who had a positive influence on your life to try to encourage you to make good choices, to grow in your faith. When you face those impossible tasks, remember those that were here and that are still are here praying for you and wanting you to do well, to succeed and to trust God with everything. That as you look back, look around. And these girls, I'm sure, can tell you, when you're at college, there's some challenges that you're going to face. And you need to find a community of faith. Find a church to get plugged into. I know some of y'all will be going here for a little bit. You'll still stay plugged in here. Find an on-campus Bible study, FCA, whatever that might be. Different. I guarantee you, wherever you're going to go, there's going to be a Christian organization that you can get plugged into and do that. And for those that are going to be here, they might not realize that, but we've got our college class and ministry is getting back started, and we're just going to show up at one of y'all's houses just one Sunday night with all these college students and be ready for dinner. But we're going to have a ministry here for you for those that are here. But remember to look around, and then finally, look ahead. When you got questions about relationships, when you got questions about the future, what is God leading me to do? Where does God want me to study? Where does God want me to continue with my life? Who does God want me to marry? Believe it or not, He already knows who He's got in store for you to marry, and continue to pray for those things and look ahead to see where God is leading you. So look back, look around, and look ahead. Graduates, we love you, and we'll be praying for you here as you continue on. I wonder, was Coach Mullen right? When I think about it, he was. He had every right to be in my face. Even though I thought I ran hard, I mean, I did good, but he knew I could have done better. That rich young ruler, that leader that Jesus talked to, he was good. But Jesus said, you can do better. God wants us to be our best. And all we have to do is rely on Him. We'll be praying for you, graduates. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for each of these graduates. I thank you for the times that they were here as young children during the children time until all those years that you led them up until this point to where they're now graduating and going on to the next chapter in life. Lord, you know the path that they have in front of them. I pray, God, that you will continue to lead and guide them. And when they face storms, when they face challenges, that you'll help them to remember what may seem impossible to them is possible for you. God, may we all rely on you through everything we do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the opportunity to respond this morning. We'll do that by singing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 287, Take My Life and Lead Me, Lord. I'll be down front if anyone has a prayer request. And as always, the invitation stands to become a part of church family. We love to welcome you into Zion Baptist Church. But whether you respond with me down front of the altar or in your pew, may we all respond to what God has shared with us this morning. Stand with me now as we sing our hymn of response, Take My Life and Lead Me, Lord.